Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Not unusual that you are brave enough to go where the brave are scared to go. Gender-based violence is our subject today, Sarah.
It is indeed, and it is because I came across a little article written by someone, I couldn't pick up the name from the article, who's co-edited a book called Gender, Sexuality and Violence in South African Educational Spaces. A lot of the observations made are trenchant in or out of the educational space. But it estimated, and this is really sobering, that 22.2% of school children have been victims of violence. And that's in the sort of 2019-2020 annual crime statistics report. But what it raises is something that you don't hear spoken about, and I think goes to the nub of the continuing problem of, let's call it, gender-based violence, although boys and men can be victims as well. And that is that that there's a broad problem in the country with regard to the gender roles of women and men, and that men are generally seen as the head of the household or the person to whom everyone else in the family must defer. And this applies whether it can happen whether a child comes from a two-parent household or a child comes from a single-parent household, the mother, and the influence comes from other males in that child's environment. And it is it's what we would consider perhaps an old-fashioned view, but it's a view that's very prevalent in our society, and the inequalities and the violence that potentially goes with it remain. And one of the problems they face in schools in particular is that teachers are often reluctant to report these incidents because they face the potential backlash and threats and violence from members of the community. Because I suppose it's fiddling with what's an accepted norm. And what they say is that children should be taught about the equal respect and treatment that boys should give girls and vice versa. And although I think, and this is just a personal view, that if you start at an early age, it's just about calling out bad behavior and correcting a child on such behavior and on such attitudes. One of the things that I remember seeing from a study done in Kenya is that although this needs to ideally go on throughout schooling, is at about the age of 13, 14, the early years of high school, what a male child should really be exposed to is actual classes on attitudes towards women, where they come from, the results that they can, the terrible results that can happen because of attitudes, and to try and change those attitudes in the schooling system. Because if you go into the ages of 15 or 16, 17, 18, in those latter teen years, it's too late. The attitudes have already settled and cannot be changed. So it's a combination of sort of subtle dealing with kids until that age of 13 or 14. And then at the age of 13 or 14, before they get into puberty and everything that involves, is really actually concentrating at school on these issues. And perhaps the way you eventually get the community not to respond negatively is because it is part of the curriculum, it is part of what has to be taught, and it'll gradually be accepted. Otherwise, I think, you know, we're always going to have the most dreadful figures for violence against women and girls, and to a lesser extent, but not impossible, against boys and men.
Sarah, I mean, we are living in a time where it's such an overused word, but gender-based violence has almost become epidemic proportions is how we're experiencing it. I mean, there's not a week that goes by where we're not seeing a woman at university killed by a boyfriend or a jilted lover or whatever it is. And just nothing seems to make any difference. For the very first time, I think this last week, there have been cries for people to say, you're attacking COVID in a certain way. You have to attack this issue with the same sincerity. You have to apply the same budget to it. This is destroying our society from within. Is anybody listening to anything?
I'm not actually sure. because I'm not deeply involved in this issue, although I would absolutely concur with the idea of educating boys at high school. I saw it in my days on governing bodies and with discipline, is that once a boy hits 15, 16, that whole testosterone, the sense of being a man kicks in. And you very often cannot achieve much after that. The problem is that you hear, constantly hear refrains, including from the president, to say, you know, the community must be involved, the government must be involved. Yes, but, you know, I think too little emphasis has been placed on education and educational authorities from within government as a means to take this forward. And so, as a consequence, it's kind of just muddled along. And this is the first time look, I don't say it hasn't been discussed, but the first time I've been seen it and said, yes, this is something that really is doing something, and maybe it'll pick up some steam.
You know, another very interesting survey was released, I think the week before last, where they're talking about unmarried pregnancies in South Africa. Mm. And I think the figure was 23,000. I don't exactly remember it, but it was horrific. And there were girls as young as 10 years old. Yeah. Seems to me that boys and this idea of toxic masculinity really need to be given a completely different education in this country.
Well, they do. And the thing is that, of course, if communities buy into it or perhaps mothers are particularly frightened of certain male figures in the family, it's very, very difficult. And that's why schools are the ideal place to do it. It's within the community, but it's not of the community. It has the authority of government. It's got to be properly done, obviously. But it's, you know, these are every time, I mean, never mind the fact that, you know, having sex with a child under the age of 16 is statutory rape. So in other words, consent is not relevant. It happens is rape. You know, as we know with a lot of things, sometimes you have to have an authority that grabs the nettle and takes the issue forward. And even if you have to some extent take members of the community kicking and screaming, but of course it would help to have a more functional police service, and those services that go with this issue, because it's so complicated and it's so awful. But, you know, try something new, and this is one of the ways to get it.
Yeah, absolutely right. Saragon, thank you for your input this afternoon. In fact, thank you for your input throughout the whole year. To you and yours, Shana Tova, until we speak again.
And to you.